We continue our two-part report tonight on the growing movement among Native Americans to reclaim land that once belonged to them. Tomorrow, the U.S. Department of the Interior is set to begin a series of consultations with Native American tribes on how to return more land to tribal management or even ownership. But much of ancestral Native American land is in private hands, causing tribes to take a more commercial approach to social justice. NewsHour Weekend Special Correspondent Kira Kay has the second part of our report.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening from Kamiak, Idaho.
The Chief Looking Glass Powwow is the cultural and social event of the year for the Nez Perce tribe. It is first and foremost an intense dance competition held on the grass of the community center on the tribe's Idaho reservation. Last year's powwow was canceled because of COVID-19, so this is also a bittersweet reunion, with families camping together for the weekend.
Here we go, Junior Girls Traditional.
Dancers of all ages compete in various categories. Your rhythm and footwork are important. So is your personal flair, including the design of your regalia.
These are elk teeth, imitation, but the real ones are only two comes with every animal. So if you have this many on there, your husband would have to be a very, very good hunter.
Well, you have no one to blame but yourself if you're out of shape, you know, because you had a whole year to get into shape.
Amidst the lighthearted banter and impressive athleticism, there is also a nod to the tribe's tragic history, its war with the U.S. Army and expulsion from its homeland.
We recognize our ancestors and the struggle and sacrifice that they went through. And it was during that time in 1877 that our people were driven out of this valley.
The Nez Perce fought and fled across 1,800 miles of some of the most difficult terrain on the continent. Old women and newborn babies were killed. The bloody pursuit ended in surrender and confinement for the survivors.
Where Oregon, Idaho, and Washington now sit, I like to call that they're a part of the United Kingdom of the Nez Perce. And so each of those states have portions that lie within our territory.
We met Tribal Vice Chair Shannon Wheeler in the Wallowa Valley of Northeast Oregon. He's been coming here all his life as a visitor.
The first thing you notice, of course, is Wawalmucks, the mountains here. The second thing I noticed was the water when I had come over here as a kid.
But you would come and stay in a hotel on your land?
Yes, yes. Or a tent, yeah.
It remains a sacred and special place for the tribe.
Our people are buried all over here. And there's been so many inadvertent discoveries and their remains not handled correctly.
The Nez Perce had lived on this land for 16,000 years. The U.S. government granted them rights to 7.5 million acres, including the Wallowa Valley, in an 1855 treaty made in exchange for access to trade routes to the Pacific.
We agreed to live in peace. We agreed to do the things that we promised within the treaty. And our people upheld those things.
And the U.S. had accepted that?
Yes.
And then changed their mind?
After gold was discovered, it took like 14 years, and then the United States Army, well, we're going to forcibly remove you now.
Their land was reduced to a reservation only 5% the size of the tribe's original territory, much of their sacred spots and rich farmland excluded. At the heart of the lost territory sits Amsoxpa, or Land of the Boulders, where the most famous of the Nez Perce leaders, Chief Joseph, held his council. Today, the nearby town of Joseph, Oregon, has become an artsy tourist destination, celebrating Chief Joseph, but with little hint of the ethnic cleansing that led to the creation of towns like this. Amsoxpa became the Hayes family farm, but the last of the Hayes family died in 2014. And then, last year, a tribe official got word. The property was for sale. Another bidder wanted to put a housing development on the land, but the Nez Perce pulled together $3.3 million to buy it themselves. Coast to coast, other tribes are also buying back their lost land when it hits the market. In Maine, the Passamaquoddy saw a real estate listing, and with the support of an environmental consortium, bought back Pine Island.
And what an honor to be above our land.
They had been given it in thanks for their assistance to the colonists during the Revolutionary War, but lost it when Maine became a state in 1820. Near California's Big Sur, the Esalen tribe bought the 1,200-acre Adler Ranch, again with the help of a nature conservancy. An Esalen representative likened it to getting back the tribe's Sistine Chapel. And just a few hours north, the Yurok tribe has spent 10 years slowly buying back more than 70,000 of the 500,000 acres once taken. Back at the Idaho powwow, Nez Perce tribe members see their purchase as a reassertion of their identity.
The government has had control over us. The army has had control of us. The Christian churches have had control of us. And now we're getting back some of our power that we had in the past.
It does bring that healing. And it also brings a responsibility for us to take care of that land again. I can't wait to go camp on that land, you know, just to set up a teepee, set up a tent.
And this past July, a moment 144 years in the making. The Nez Perce returned on horseback to the land they now again own for a blessing ceremony.
Those same bloodlines that had to leave are still alive. And that's what this ceremony was for, to be able to let those emotions out so that our people could walk from this day forward with a better heart.
Behind this good news, though, is the lingering question of whether paying for land rewards historical wrongs.
The owner of this land, though, he called it a business transaction.
Yeah, he was definitely all about business, and he benefited from it.
There are people who might watch this and say, problem solved. They'll just pay for it. Are you worried that you're setting a bad precedent?
If we set a precedence of this is the way that we have to do it, then that's what we're having to do. Some point in time in the future, we would hope that the federal government would see that what we did was wrong. This tribe and these people need to be compensated for that. We have to fight for every ounce that we get, and if we have to pay for some of it, then that's what we have to do.